wasn't up to 6:30 to start this. And welcome, everybody. Thank you for coming. And it looks like we have a quorum, I think. I'm counting here. I think we're good on that. So I'll call the meeting to order. And that's out. And that's in case anybody gets out of hand. I'm not looking at you, really. And it looks like we do have a quorum because we have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13 here. So that's still good. So we're okay on that. Okay, any public comment? Okay, moving on to the approval of the minutes that were prepared by Joanne Carpenter from our meeting on April 15th. The only thing I saw was one under the president's report when we were talking about reviewing John's contract. You said it would be next review in about 1.5 years. And I guess now that I'm saying that out loud, I think that's fine because it really the contract's due in 2 years. But I think I had made that comment about we would talk about it ahead of time. So I think we can just leave that. Does anybody else have any other comments about the minutes? Phyllis?
You had mentioned in there that I mentioned Mary Sonata for auditor.
Right.
I meant to say Mary Lee.
Okay, I did see that. Where is that? Let me see where that.
I don't remember.
Let me see. It's tiny little single space.
Yeah. I can find it and change it.
I did see it though. Yeah. Okay. All right. Good.
Perfect search.
Yeah. Where is it now?
It takes too long.
Under treasure? Would it be under treasure? It should have been.
Oh, it's under treasurer's report. You're absolutely right. Second to last line, Miss Patton indicated that Mary Sonata, so it should be Mary Lee.
It should be Mary Lee.
Okay.
Mary Sonata told me back in the last year that she didn't have time.
Okay, good. Okay. All right. So any other comments or changes, suggestions to the minutes from April? Do we have a motion to accept them, adopt them?
I'll make a motion that we accept them as corrected.
Okay. Accept as corrected. And who?
Julie, second it.
Julie is going to second it. And everybody in favor of the minutes as to be corrected, as we talked about? Aye. Aye. Any opposition? No. Okay, good. Great. Okay, the bookstore manager report with Patty.
What happened to treasurer?
Oh, you got bumped.
So I did.
You got bumped.
Well, great haul.
You know, you just like suck it up this time, okay? Sorry, you were already. You were just fine. All right, let's just do the comments. Okay.
It's okay, Sandy.
Oh, my.
I'm sorry.
Okay, Patty. Ferguson.
You all have my report. However, adding to that is our income for last month in June was $7,446.64. Yay. Our parking lot sale, although we did not make mountains of money, we got rid of mountains of books.
Yay.
And we made $186. And when you figure we were using Walmart bags for people to fill, let me tell you, you can get about 15 paperback books in one of those little baggies. So we sold a tremendous number of books. Phyllis sold, was it 15 boxes of Canvas books?
10 boxes of Canvas books,
which was wonderful.
Wow. Good.
Everybody that came out and helped seemed to have a good time, had a lot of help, which was good.
Good.
And it went well.
Good. Let me ask you a question. You have on this, the report, you had income for April and then income for May, but you said June just a minute ago.
Did you mean May?
Income was 7446?
No, that's June.
June.
May should be in my report. If I put April, that's my bad.
Oh, because it says stop. Income for April. Okay, so it's May.
I have to stop doing things at 2 in the morning.
Okay, but June, we're only halfway through June.
I'm sorry, back that up. Like I said, I have to stop doing things in the middle of the night.
May was 73.88 for daily sales.
Okay, April was 74.52. Is that correct? And May was 70?
388.
May was 74, 46, 64. That's what was on my
54?
Report.
54? 74,
4, 6, and 64 cents.
64.
That was what was on my report from Mary.
Okay. So April 74, 52. May 70.
That.
No, that's all right. I was just, when you said June, I went, wait a minute, it's only mid-June, and I was just trying to figure that out. Okay, great.
Patty, one thing on the sales. We, year to date, and we had this problem last year, I've never seen anything from Better World Books again this year.
Neither
okay,
have we.
Okay, well, I did. I waited until the appropriate time, made sure that it had not come in. I have sent an email to them. It was either Saturday or Monday, telling them that according to our treasurer, we've not received any funds since last year, and would somebody please check into it. If I have not heard from Mr. Marlin in the next day or two, I'll be on the phone. I don't know, for the little bit that they pay us, it's not like they can't afford it.
So they're behind in paying?
They usually kind of are. And
they're supposed to pay quarterly.
Yeah, they're supposed to pay quarterly. And to the best of my recollection, the mail does not come in with a return address that says Better World Books. If it did, I would open it immediately and say, hey, Sandy, we got paid. So it's got to be coming in under a post office box or something. So anyway, we do get our money. I just have to give them a little
poke. Semi-annually. Okay. Okay, great. Any other questions about Patty's bookstore report? Anybody? Okay. All right, good. Well, that's an information item. Now, for our esteemed treasurer's report,
yes.
Ms. Sandra Osterhoff.
Osterhoff. That's okay.
Okay.
Did everybody get a copy? I certainly hope so. Okay, so the Edward Jones $41,000 in the building fund hasn't really happened yet. We've given them the money, but there's paperwork involved, so I will get a report from them probably the end of this month to show that it's going into a building fund just for that money. Until then, it's in limbo, but it does have a line item. We've closed, or I have closed in June, the U.S. bank account. We had some money in there that I moved. I also paid Diane some money out of there, and that'll be her report. Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, I'm going off on a trip.
No.
Yeah.
Where
are you going?
Better not. So anyhow, so that's closed. We did leave one of the accounts open. And that should have about $500 or $600 in there. That's for the catalog sales only. So the savings account has been closed. So that's in June. That'll be reflected in June. What else? Anything else? Let's see what else we're doing here. No. That's all. Most all the money has been moved to Edward Jones. And so we are closing now one of the CD accounts that was was that the Mellon Bank? I think it was. No, that was the one before. So that $10,000 now moved to the PIMCO money market. So we, little by little, we are closing the CDs and moving them into money markets and other investment income. No questions? Nobody cares.
Okay. Sandy also informed me that I didn't need to include the monthly report of the Friends. And
no, that's for Phil.
So anyway, I apologize. You got a few extra pages of numbers to look
just at. Ignore them, because that's
them.
Phil's information.
Anyway, yeah. I just thought, oh, yeah. I get them from you, Sandy, so I should include them. So I have to be trained. Okay. Any comments, thoughts about what's going on with the money? Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Committee reports. Publicity. Want to look at mine?
Top of my head.
Yeah.
I did run a copy. Okay. We've been posting as usual, and the posts are going on to Carson now.
Nevada Momentum posted over the April, over April and May, over 30 items, and I posted an additional six. The Nevada Momentum posts things like author events and membership-related posts, and they do a nice job there. They're different and nicely done, so I don't know how much impact they're having, but they're nice. And then I met with Allie Lawson from Nevada Momentum regarding the Holiday Bazaar to see if we could start an early campaign so that we could potentially get the word out beforehand and get some interest in it. And so she's going to work on that a little bit, and she's already come up with a few things. And I don't remember, I think she's talked to some of you about it, I don't remember, but so we've done that, and the committee on the Holiday Bazaar has met several times, and we're just getting together some of the stuff that the ladies at part of the committee are willing to do. So that's it.
And I should add, Allie did a really nice movie ad video, or the whatever she calls it, the graphics and everything. And it's about the seeking donations for the bazaar. And it's really nice. So it's coming. So go to the movies. See that. But it really looked nice. Didn't you? You thought so too, right? The movie
yes,
thing?
Yes, I did. Yeah, they do a nice polished job.
Yeah, they really do. Okay, budget report. Bill.
Well, there's about three things. A month ago, we were concerned about membership because we've been running negative all year. And if you look at May now, year to date, we collected $1,100 and it flipped from a negative to $11 positive.
Yes.
That
Where's
is
Lisa?
Outstanding in 1 month.
Thank you.
We had a big surprise this year with workers' comp because we actually filed a claim. And we filed a claim, the insurance company upped our rate, so
of course,
now we're negative.
Of course.
That's always. The way insurance, but we didn't plan for that because we didn't know it was going to happen. And the other good news, Patty, last year, remember how negative we ran supplies for bookstore?
Yes.
And the year to date now, we're $457 favorable.
Oh,
so
yay.
All those things you did are working. So that's good.
Thank you.
Good. Great. Good. Yeah, no, it looked pretty good. So any other thoughts, comments? Notice anything? Okay. Okay, I had film festival down here. I know that you guys pretty are not doing probably anything right now, but you are. So
short
tell me.
Short report please. Verbally at your invitation.
Thank you. I said
love that.
Verbal is fine.
We have not chosen films yet. We're considering several, but nothing more than that. So very, very short.
Okay, so you're previewing some ideas and things. Do you ever?
Excuse me.
No choices.
Do you still want to get those emails from what's her face?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because we never know if the films we choose will be available through them. Last year, none of them were, but other years they have been.
Do you get the same email, or is this a different one that I get?
I think it comes to you because you are the payer source.
Okay, I'll make sure I forward everything then.
At this point where you're planning for a whole year ahead, pretty much, mm-hmm. do you think about, like, a theme or anything to bring...
No.
Okay, you don't. You just...
We try to give a variety of genre, moods, from three different countries that we haven't shown.
Okay.
So there are several things we consider, but no, we don't try to make them all fit a theme.
I was just curious. Yeah, that's good. Okay.
We haven't.
That's great. Thank you. Membership. So Lisa Booter is not here tonight. So Phil has kind of given us a little update on the membership already, which I'm really happy to hear that
well,
we've gotten
I have something.
Okay.
Okay. I've been sending out the renewal notices. We sent out about 15 or 20 last month. We'll be sending out about 30 the end of June for July, because that's when most everybody joined. I do have a list that I'm going to give to Lisa, and it is the summary that Kat did for us about all the people that responded to the emails or to the surveys, and they left their email addresses. So there's no reason why she can't use those email addresses to do some sort of little campaign.
Yeah.
I don't know what, she can do that.
Yeah.
All of the people that have not paid their dues, they get dropped off of my current list. but they go on an inactive list, which I share with Diane Salinger. She, in turn, writes letters to these people saying, where have you been? What's happening? How come you're not here anymore? That type of thing. I don't know if we're getting anything from them, because all I'm getting is renewal cards. They're like 2 or 3 months old. So they may be just waiting for her to nudge them, and then they send it in. So that's what's going on.
Okay.
Oh, one other thing. When people give anybody a membership, a check for membership, make sure that you take it to somebody at the register to have them put it on the register. This month in June, I was $300 difference. And I said, my, where'd that go? Or where'd it come from? And it was 3 memberships that did not get entered on the register. So if you take a membership, like at a meeting like this, make sure you give it to Patty or somebody on the register so they can put it on there. Darlene can do it too. She does a good job. And that way it gets on the square and we can keep track of everybody. That's it. That's
okay.
All I have.
Another comment on membership. Lisa has supposed to be working with Allie Lawson at Nevada Momentum on a flyer that for membership, promoting the business memberships, that will be e-blasted to all of the Chambers Commerce members.
Good.
Wonderful.
So that's a lot of people. Yeah. And then our job after the flyer will be follow-up. Mm-hmm. So.
Sounds great. Allie's on vacation this week.
Oh, yes, I know. Yeah, because she sent a copy of the draft newsletter, and we're looking at it. So, okay. Okay, great. Thank you, everybody. Okay, now our library liaison report from the esteemed interim director of the library, Diane Baker, because I forgot again to put a special slot for her, and it's my fault. So thank you,
but
Diane.
But did you get the report? Did you send that out?
Yes, okay. Everybody right. Should have that.
I forgot to ask you if they got the report
yes,
or not.
They did.
Well, a couple of things to update you on, especially at the start. We did say goodbye to Elisa Seiler, who has been at the library and part of the library for many years. So her retirement was last month, and she is already off doing what she loves best, is traveling. So she's on to her next chapter and doing more and more traveling on that. The other thing I'm sure that is right up there in everybody's thoughts or mind is the status for the recruitment for the library director. So the in the May 30th regular meeting for the Library Board of Trustees, they did identify a primary and secondary candidate. Offers were made to the primary. We were declined. The secondary and declined again. So there was a special meeting of the library board last Friday to determine next steps, because although they had interviewed 3 individuals, their official action was, you know, were offers to 2. So we needed to have the board come back into session and determine the status on if they wanted to review the anybody else on the list, make an offer, or go out to reopen the position. And the determination after a fair amount of discussion was to reopen the position. So as of today, it was just this afternoon, we did have the position posted on the Carson City Human Resources site. It is also up on the library's website. It will be posted nationally through the ALA job list with their premium posting. We are accelerating the timeline this time around. We did have a pretty long timeline the last time around. That did mirror what had been done about 5 or 6 years ago. I think we're in a much more competitive environment. And so the accelerated timeline is where the position will be open for 30 days. So it will be closing in July. The library board will be looking at applications, choosing applicants at the end of July. So we'll be able to just slip in the open meeting for that. And we have already set an August meeting for interviews, public Q&A,
and for the library board to make a determination. So I think that will help a lot of things. In one specific case, we did lose one candidate that was on the interview list that got a different library director job. And I suspect there was at least one other, but that was one that we can confirm. So we're really looking to keep that timeline a little tighter this time around. What is an advantage for this recruitment is that the annual conference of the American Library Association starts later this week, so we will have our post up in time for that to be reviewed by individuals nationwide, but especially there. We will have our own Amy Lauder, who will be at the conference. She will be taking a handful of updated flyers. It's the same flyer that's posted on our website. So there's a few minor changes to it, but it's essentially the same flyer. So does anyone have any questions on that? Yes.
Did either of the candidates that declined our offers tell you why they declined?
One was for there, I didn't have enough specific personal reasons, but some personal circumstances had changed. Another was the economic situation and how, I guess part of it was how expensive our area is here compared to where they were from. So that was a factor as well. So we can't fix that. But there's some other things that we can do, and I think keeping a quick timeline on this will help a lot. Okay, any other? Okay, well, a couple of other things, just what's written in here, pretty straightforward. The one thing under the legislative update, the one bill from the 2017 legislature where we had $500,000 for libraries, we almost got all of that. We got about $440,000 put permanently in the state library budget. So we've got our foot in the door there, and that's a good thing. We were hoping for more, but you know, we have to get started someplace. Some of the other bills that were out there for school libraries or for to restrict guns in public libraries did not make the final cut. So that is really about all that we had there. I did want to just update a couple of things. Thank you all for those the
big fat checks.
Yes, those nice checks that we have for history books. We had some from AV. They have already been set up with the collection development department. They have their spreadsheets and everything set out and ready to go. So that you know they were. And, you know, ready and raring to go because they kind of knew those things were coming. So that helped to get that forward. The other with the Summer Learning Challenge, yay, we had that kickoff on the 8th. That was a hugely busy weekend. We already knew that graduation was going on that week, but of course, you know, summer, good weather, a zillion things were going on. And in spite of that, we had a great turnout. At the library for the sign-ups. We had the inflatable planetarium. Had some pictures of that in Carson now. The kids thought it was great because it's an older version and it was like an igloo that they could go through, and but then they had constellations and stories and things that went with our universe of stories theme. So that has been a great kickoff. The funds that we've gotten from all of you from the annual donation have been an important part of getting some of those programs. It was part of the planetarium and it's part of some of the other programs that we are doing and the incentives that we have for the kids. We have a lot of interest going on. I think we're going to surpass our number of signups just looking at our initials. So. Looking really good for the Summer Learning Challenge this time around. So thank you very much for that support. That has been really good. The other things that I have on here, probably one, if you don't know, you might not know what it means under special events, an esports convention. This might make you kind of think twice, but esports is really video games. but it's competitive video games. And if you weren't aware, and I knew what was going on, but I was schooled in the level that this is at. This is video sports and gaming. There is a professional level that you wouldn't believe. And there is now a collegiate level where there are collegiate teams and there are scholarships to go to college. So if you have that grandkid that is really into gaming, you never know, there might be a scholarship out there for them. But this was the first ever here in Carson City. Great turnout.
Where was it? At the library?
It wasn't at the library. These type of programs, they go, it was from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. So they had two different rounds of games. They had, for all ages until about 6 p.m. They had competitions with Mario Smash Brothers, very family oriented. And then in the evening they had, although it wasn't a violent game, but they had one that's a little more oriented to teens and above. So they had a couple of different tournaments. We had, I was able to arrange for one prize from XR Libraries that does our virtual reality, and we did have a library movie basket game promotion for them as well. We had our virtual reality specialists there. Ermal Reinhardt and Maria Cuesta were there for a good part of the day. And there was a great part of the community. Lots of families came out. We also had the robotics team from the high school that did a great presentation on how their robotics and even how it merges into the virtual reality and some of the other gaming. So the mayor was there. We had some great times. So it's an interesting view of what's going on on that part, and it's going to be continuing.
Can I interrupt you for one?
Of course.
About 10 months ago, I tried to get Sealand to convert the Digitorium into a game contest arena. I don't know, I thought she talked it over with you, but I got the impression that you guys put the thought on the back burner.
Well, some of it is...
Maybe that's why she moved on to blockchain.
Blockchain, where the money was, yeah. Well, that actually, money was part of it. But we do have, since that time, and probably it's kind of been simmering since you had that out there, I've been doing some more investigation as to what libraries have as far as some of the gaming available. And where we might be able to get some funding to, because we have some great computers, but gaming takes a different level of computing. And we don't have enough of that level at this point to support that the power that's used with some of the video gaming. A lot of it is the higher level video cards and things are kind of pricey to add into the systems. But I have been looking at couple of places where we might be able to get some funding support for that.
I heard the same thing about AV, but I think the AV is really inexpensive now.
Some of it, yeah. It's the basic computer isn't too bad. It's that darn video card that is the pricey part.
Still about $1,000 for gaming console.
Mm-hmm. So, and then
that's
there's networking. It's networking and interconnectivity, so individuals are actually playing against each other. It's not a solitary.
And on a screen.
Yeah, now some of the monitors, we have some good monitors to do on that. So I think that what you threw out there, it's still percolating on that part. So I think there's some pathways, and having this little kickstart of the e-gaming convention here was valuable.
Is there any real use of the Digitorium?
There is still, of course. We have
seems
the
kind of empty space.
At the in the spring, the mid spring, late spring, it does taper off with what we have with the students. We have the programming still with the digital literacy skills with the PSAs, and that is still strong in the fall, all the way through the winter break. We have had in the springtime where we do additional programming with some of the other clubs that are there, the Health Occupations Group, FBLA, which is the Future Business Leaders group, where we have done some interactions with them. But it does definitely drop off at the last part of the spring. And then during the summer, it becomes part of the summer learning space. So it gets incorporated into all our programming and isn't set aside just for the teen space like we do during the semesters. So, but that you bring actually up, brings up great points. We were discussing over time, because it's been about 5 years since we've had the Digitorium, and the things are evolving in the digital world and the education programs that are being done at the high school. And we started having a couple of meetings on what the future will be of that partnership. And then again, of course, the Friends have been an important part of that partnership and how we got things started with the Digitorium. So things do evolve and change. So
slowly.
Sometimes, yeah.
One other quick question for you. Do you have any more of those calendar of events at the library?
We do. We ran out of the right kind of paper, and of course, like on Friday, so we couldn't get it until Monday. Get it on that. So that's where we're back at that one.
We could bring some over if somebody's running around with them.
Frida does.
Frida tries to get those.
There's one posted on the bulletin board for people to look at, and we have made copies and put it here, but they do run out because I guess people
love them.
Yeah, but I take them.
Well, but
that's what they're supposed to do.
It's little bitty print up there.
I put it on there, and you can always go online, Bill, and look at it on your little computer.
I think the just last two things I'll mention, there's updates on what's going on at the Adams Hub, have some cool stuff going there. Had an interesting delegation of Chinese entrepreneurs that were in the afternoon. Plus, they brought along their own simultaneous interpreters. So we had stuff in our ears and things, and it was really a great interaction. They said it was one of the best. It was wrapping up a 3-week tour where they were in Washington, D.C., in New York. Here, we had the opportunity to engage them interactively with our entrepreneur in residence, and they loved it because most everything else they had, they were lectured to and had a little quick Q&A time. So they really did like what we were able to offer them. We're looking forward to having young African leaders in town that call it YALI in July. And last but not least, coming right up this Wednesday, we are doing the Grow with Google program. We are one of two libraries in Nevada that are doing this part of this national rollout of Grow with Google at libraries. It's been sponsored by Google and the American Library Association. And so kind of a big deal. We're looking forward to it. Google comes in strong. They are, holy cow, they're kind of, they are the big operation, and they're used to operating a certain way. But it's been interesting, and I think it'll be some good programs. So are there any other questions? Thank you for letting me sneak in on that, Frida.
Thank you, Frida. Thank you, Diane.
Of course.
Okay, moving on. The finance. That's Philip. I'm sorry.
One
addition
is that the library will be closed for the 4th of July.
Oh, okay, great.
That was all the other that you did.
I'd expected it probably would be.
On the 19th.
So, okay, we... Phyllis on the Finance Committee.
Did everybody understand what I had in these minutes? Does anybody have any questions?
Well, I was there, so it was easy for me.
I just want to make sure that they all know what's going on. Don't accuse us of doing things behind their backs. Like Sandy said, the $41,000 has not actually been invested yet. We keep having trouble with they need one more signature before their company will allow them to set up the account and all that sort of stuff. So that will happen eventually. What's happening with the CDs is as each one of them matures, they're going into the PIMCO money market account, which is made up of government-insured treasury bills, bonds, and all that sort of stuff. So it's still a very safe place to put it, almost as safe as CDs, but it's more liquid. You don't have to wait for CDs to mature in case you need to take the money out for some special project or whatever. So I have a feeling that probably the $41,000 is sitting in that for the time being until they come up with it. So then when that does get deposited into the second account, which is going to be at least part of it, a Lord Abbott account, which will be made up, some of it, the Lord Abbott account is made up of more bonds and securities, but not necessarily all government bonds and securities. Some of them may be corporate, that sort of thing, so it will have good interest and still be relatively safe. And then there will be a percentage of it that will be invested into a mutual stock mutual fund, probably, with very standard, solid companies that are also pay dividends. So there will be some utilities and some old, like Coca-Cola and Procter & Gamble, that kind of stuff that people use all the time, no matter what the market's doing. And they will go down when the market goes down, but they don't go down near as much, and it doesn't take them near as much time to recover as some of your more volatile stocks. And we will never be invested in things like Tesla and Facebook and that kind of stuff, because those are a little too volatile for what we're trying to do. We probably will meet again then towards the end of the next quarter. Sandy and I'll be updated on what's happening with the monthly statements that we'll be getting. So does anybody have any questions?
Okay, moving on. Thank you, Phyllis. Okay, now, President's Report. Ta-da! Okay, we sent a thank you to Bob Byington for all of his help with friends in the bookstore. And after polling the executive committee, I authorized Phyllis to purchase a $50 gift card to Lowe's as a small thank you for all the work he's done for the friends. And you sent that with a note, so that was done.
And I talked to Cindy.
Yep.
And she said he's taken it and he's spent it on paint and he was thrilled to get it.
Good.
He was not expecting it, but
excellent.
He was thrilled to get it.
Excellent. Okay, great. Yes,
and
Patty.
And he also sent us a thank you note, which is up with the memos.
Yay. Great. Okay, good. Okay, did everybody see my Nevada Appeal column? If not,
yes.
I gave you a copy.
Nice.
I'm writing a second one. It's coming. I didn't want to harass them too much, so I'm kind of spacing it out. Because I did get some updated info on the origin story. And Frieda and I talked a little bit about this, but another dear friend of mine who was a Supreme Court law librarian had also good information on who the people were at the beginning. So I thought that I would use that as an excuse to write a second column with a little more information, and maybe, you know, over a series of columns every month and a half or 2 months, we can, you know, get a dialogue going and, you know, get more information. Who knows? More pioneers of the library out there.
We have a list somewhere here of all the members going back to the beginning of time.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Somewhere Doug put
yes.
it. I don't know where it is.
Yeah.
So
that's
what
helps.
So that,
well, these things
at least
turn
it's here.
Up, they turn up when they need to,
oh,
you know.
Yeah, it's here.
But anyway, it was fun writing it, and we did get an inquiry from it actually.
Good.
So anyway, we'll see. So anyway, moving on the Thayer donation money, I sent letters to the three people that I thought were, one, the executor of the estate, and two were the two nephews of Mrs. Thayer. I received one, came back undelivered, address the unknown. I also sent it to the lawyer for the estate. Have not heard a word about any of that. I'll wait a little bit longer, see if I get any of the others back. But there's $7,000 left in there, and if this comes back with nothing, I'm going to recommend that we go forward and just give it some money to the library to spend as they see fit. And we write a due diligence memo saying what our historical efforts collectively have been to try to resolve this dilemma. And we'll present it to the board. It's not something I'm going to do unilaterally or any of the executive committee or anything. But that's where we are on that. So, and also, I was noticing at the library that, you know, we have two racks of books called Brand New Fiction and Brand New Nonfiction. They're all hardback. So why don't we just give the $7,000 to the library to buy hardbound books, new books? You know, that's a thought too. So just roll that around in your mind and think about it. And next time I'll update you if I've gotten any feedback on this. And well, we'll go forward. Yes, Linda.
Diane, may I ask all of us and you, when we buy hardbacks, do we use anything like, you know, the London Review of Books or the New York Review of Books to choose modern nonfiction and fiction in the hardback to place? How do you decide what to buy, I guess, is my question.
Well, that's one of the reasons we have our Cracker Jack manager, Amy Lauder, in collection development. Okay. She does use the a variety of the lists, the bestseller lists, and there's several that come out. New York Times, Globe and Mail, which is British. So there's several that they access, and we usually keep a printed copy of the weekly bestsellers list on the new book racks that you're talking about.
I've seen that.
Those are
my question.
Okay,
thank you
good.
So much.
So I think the selections overall, I mean, they're not everyone that I want to read, but they're amazingly good, really good.
Oh, I'm glad. I'll
really good. And also take note that in this will, this infamous will, the language talks about hardbound history and literature books, but literature is with a small L, not a large L. Mm-hmm. And the definition of a small L literature is pretty much anything in print, anywhere, anytime. It is not specific to War and Peace or something like that. So it is broader than
we thought.
It's broader than you have been going forward with, much broader. So I think we have no problem getting rid of this money. My two cents on that.
Person who selects books ever consider university presses for history books, for example?
Oh, of course.
Or others?
We do get a lot of things from University of Nevada Press, of course, because of the regionality. Mm-hmm. There are a number of other university presses that are on the list that she goes over. So, yeah. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Okay, we got a request from RSVP for a donation to its July 4th celebration, which is coming up really soon. And it was in your packet, and I don't know what you've done in the past, so I will defer to all of you and your comments. It seems to me that they want a lot of money, and I'm not sure that I'm in the mood to give them any, but that's me, and I don't know the history, so is there any discussion?
We did that a few years ago, thinking that we'd get our name out there and all that sort of stuff. We've got no benefits.
So should we, on this now, maybe we should have an action item and have a motion that we decline the request for a donation this year and leave it at that, and they can send it next year and we can do it again or whatever.
I'll make a motion we decline your request.
Pardon?
Too
late for what?
To say 2 weeks out to make a decision?
No.
July 4th, is it?
Who cares? We just say no.
Is this for the fireworks?
Yeah.
Well, in other words,
no, I don't know about their fireworks. It's for their RSVP annual 4th of July celebration at Mills Park, a 4-day event. Mm-hmm. It's in your packet.
It's part of the, the time that we did
help
do
pay
it.
For the fireworks.
Put our name, our banner up, and we got
Bupkis.
It was disappointing.
So I don't think, I mean, they will take money up until the 11th hour, I would assume. But it's 2 weeks out now, so we just tell them no thank you.
If it's a banner, that's something else. That's why I just asked, is it for the fireworks?
It's not, I don't think it's for purchase of fireworks.
If you read the material in the package, there are various activities going on over 4 days. I think the fireworks are definitely part of it. It appears to be. But I just don't have the history on it. It didn't appeal to me too much, but...
Isn't it illustrative enough to what you...
Pardon? Bill, you have to speak up so we can hear you, not mumble.
No, here's the situation. I asked you if you knew, was it for the fireworks?
I think
yes,
it is.
No, we're indifferent. No, there's 4 other activities. All I was interested in is if we donate to the fireworks, I might be interested in that.
Okay.
As far as putting the banner up on the beer wagon, I'm not too wild about that.
Well, the levels of donation are... for $5,000, you get a package of meal vouchers, beer tickets, carnival wristbands, and a recorded commercial or something. For $3,000, you get it goes on and on. So read the thing. But I don't know about a banner. Oh, it says multiple opportunities to add your banner to our outdoor stage. Is that what you did before?
Yes.
And be in all of our publicity for $500. That's the lowest level of contribution.
Does
so,
it really say anything
Patty.
About paying for
the banner was hung on the, whatever the thing was, the bandstand. It was kind of off in the corner. And Jim and I went purposefully to see where it was, and I reported back to Phyllis that,
Now, you used both the 2 free tickets, didn't you?
I beg your pardon?
That came in the package. We gave you the 2 free tickets.
Yeah, and I mean, it was...
Okay.
It was kind of disappointing.
Okay, all right. I just wanted your input on this because I didn't know. So, does someone want to make a motion that we do not make a donation?
Make a motion that we do not participate.
Okay, do not participate. A second?
Second.
Okay, Dana. And all in favor of not contributing to the RSVP annual 4th of July event?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, moving on. And I will call them, or whatever they want me to do. I'll call them and say no, thank you. All right, now, we have the situation with the possible amendment to the bylaws to require membership for volunteers. And I put in the packet a little cover memo from me on it, which gives a little bit of background, and the actual amendment language that we came up with, we meaning me, and my husband Peter, and we ran it past Bill. So I just need you to discuss it, decide one way or the other, or not. I should also note that when I was going over the bylaws, I noticed that Section 4, the last section of the first article of the bylaws, is a waiver. So at any time, the board can waive membership fees at its discretion for any purpose, say a hardship quest purpose, or to give an honorary membership or something like that. So there is that already built into the bylaws. So what we came up with was Article 1, Membership, Section 5, which would be a new section. Volunteers and membership fees. Volunteers to the Friends of the Carson City Library are required to be paid members of the organization unless said fees are reduced or waived pursuant to Section 4 above.
That's just redundant then, pretty much.
It can't, yes, you can read it that way.
Yeah.
So in other words, maybe we don't need to do this.
Yeah.
Maybe we can just rely on Section 4 and waive fees if at our discretion if we feel there's a need or not. So I don't,
I think the people in the store need to have some sort of verbiage that they can give the people that are questioning why they're volunteering and why they're requesting or why they have to pay their dues. The only thing I can come up with is that it looks good to the IRS that we have a large membership. They're looking at that. It's also great if we're writing grants that we have a large membership. However, if people are not willing, it's sort of a personal thing as to whether they really are committed to the group or just committed to volunteering.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What does that mean?
Yeah. That if you're committed to volunteering, that you don't necessarily have to be a paid member. That's what that means.
Question. So under those circumstances, if you're referring to what you just said, then this whole line of people, we could say, well, I love being a volunteer, but I don't feel
necessary. And yes, you can. That would be an emotional, it's emotional commitment, it's a financial commitment. It isn't mandatory.
Don't agree.
Well, that's your. Yeah, you can do that, but that's him saying there are a lot of nonprofits that require thousands of dollars to be a member and to be on the board.
Yes.
We're not that.
We're not in that play.
$20. So asking $25 or whatever it is not that much.
No.
It's a commitment you make to the group. If you're not willing to make that commitment financially, you make it voluntarily when you come down and work, so be it.
So you feel it's, I mean, not you personally.
Well, it is me personally. I'm speaking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Pardon.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. She wants to be a volunteer here.
Yeah.
I'm pointing at Linda.
Yeah.
But she doesn't feel it's necessary for her to pay dues. I, on the other hand, feel it's my donation to the community to support it.
And that's what you say.
But I'd rather not have somebody not pay their dues and come in and work.
It is a personal thing.
Yes, it is personal.
It's a very personal thing.
Then the question came up about insurance, whether there was any issue with our liability policy and whether membership was, say, part of that. And Cindy Byington talked to Marilyn Lewis, the State Farm agent, and Marilyn Lewis said that our coverage for the liability policy that we have would include anyone in the store or on its property, which would include non-members, non-member volunteers, member volunteers, walk-ins, customers, everybody. Yeah. So it really doesn't apply there. We were hoping maybe it did, but it didn't. So
are we going to take a vote on that?
Well, that's what I want
to.
We have some more discussion here.
Yeah, I'd like to throw in my two cents here into the discussion. I think we can have some language for people when they are signing up to volunteer to say we encourage our volunteers to become members at the lowest level, $20, to show a commitment to the Friends organization.
That's what I was asking, that you give some verbiage to the people.
Yeah. If you do not choose to do so, you may still sign up to volunteer.
Yeah.
So that can be done on your application or in your policy manual. It doesn't need to be added to the bylaws.
Yeah.
Yeah. The application needs to happen.
Did you say we encourage people?
Is it on? Is what is?
Become members.
There's nothing on the application though.
No, and see,
about
when
volunteering.
When I started training volunteers, I didn't even think to tell them about paying dues. It just didn't even cross my mind. It wasn't on the app.
Right. Right.
And now so we've got some who are really hard workers.
Well, there's a dollar amount on the app.
We change that application about it twice a year.
No,
well,
we don't either.
Okay,
so
let's.
We have some hard workers that don't really change that.
Right, I know. We've talked about this. So, well, maybe then to just cut to the chase here a little bit for this right now, and I, you know, maybe we should review the application for volunteering, and then, you know, take a hard look at that and revise it, and then
for volunteering. I'm sorry, I meant the application for membership.
No, this is for volunteering. This is for volunteering.
But on the application for membership, but that's if you want to volunteer.
Right, there's the dollar amount.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no dollar amount for volunteering.
No,
that's what I'm saying. I had the wrong form in mind.
So but maybe
to me, it's. I'm a member of this organization, and I want to do so much to help it that I will volunteer wherever they need help.
And I will pay
and
my membership.
I will pay my dues
at
the highest level available.
I think most of us here feel that way.
Nothing about money. Nothing about money.
Okay, may I have this?
Yes.
Okay.
So I would say just change that application if you want to give them the out to maybe come before the board and ask for a waiver.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's then maybe to just make this easy today, let's table this whole issue of amendment to the bylaws for now, and we'll undertake we. Who's we? who wants to undertake revising the volunteer application? Going once, going Ursula Carlson. Yes, thank you, Ursula.
Yay, team.
And then report, I'll put you on the agenda for next time.
Okay,
to,
which will be?
Well, we'll talk about that. I think it's going to, well.
Sometime
it's
August.
Gonna be August or September because of some travel things. But
So let's just,
so I'll say we'll work that out. And then I can put you on so that we can talk about the new application and maybe we just don't need this. Which
just
is
give them an option.
And I'm all in favor of anything that just keeps it simple. But when I saw Section 4 and the waiver, I thought, well, that covers a lot of things.
To my knowledge, that's only been used once in the last 10 or 15 years.
But that's okay.
And
it's
that's
there.
It was an honorary waiver we gave to Frida and Cindy.
And they still pay.
And you still take their money.
You still take her money.
But you'll never get a bill if you don't.
Right.
I get a reminder.
She gets a reminder.
She should never drop you off of the list if you don't pay it 1 month.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good note. Yeah, I got to remember that.
Yes, Darlene. Wait, hold on. Wait. We have a. Darlene wants to say something.
Do I need to remind everybody how this came to be an issue in the first place? Because my concern was that prospective volunteer that was taking issue with it and saying we can't make them pay, and I thought maybe she knew something that I didn't know.
Right.
Maybe there was some illegality or regulation that a nonprofit can't make you pay. So that's how this all came to be.
I know. And there are nonprofits who do require membership. Absolutely. So this is,
we're not one of them.
There are a lot who don't, and there are a lot who do require it.
But
so
we have it's our option.
And it's an option for us. We can just make our own decisions. So I say let's make a motion to table this discussion about amending the bylaws.
I so move.
Pending a review of the volunteer application and a discussion next time. You move it, Sandy?
Yeah.
Second? Anybody?
I'll second.
All right, everybody. Everybody seconds it. Everybody in favor of that? Everybody in favor of that idea? Okay, tabled. Thank you. Aye. And any opposition? No. Okay. Okay, so volunteer app revision for next agenda. I have to make notes or not forget.
Mm-hmm. Better than stickies.
No, I have a little booklet. I'm very professional.
Okay, good. I saw your
Can you see?
Yeah.
Okay. Next up, as we all know, Patty Ferguson is going to be leaving us towards the end of July. I understand it's July 30th, boo-hoo?
Yes.
July 30th, okay, 31st. I was making you work another day. So we've had some discussion about possible replacement. There is a candidate amongst the current volunteers who is interested in the job. The executive committee is going to be shortly, hopefully very soon, interviewing her, and we will report back on that. We're hoping we can get this done within time that we know she's committed and Patty can have some training time with her. Now, that may necessitate paying her for, say, 2 weeks of training time, which would double a little bit extra money expended in salary. So I also, in case anyone is concerned, according to the bylaws that were adopted in January of 2019, the executive committee was given the authority to interview and negotiate the contract for the bookstore manager. And we will take that authority and we will use it. And that's what we're going to do.
So
and this was before my time. That's not all
there.
That was not on my watch, but that's it. So it's a done
deal.
You're looking at
it. It's a done deal. So this is just an information item right now, but I'm hopeful that this woman will work out. The resume looks good, and we're hoping we can get together very soon and get it gelled up so that you will have a couple of weeks with her to just do the thing, to make it happen. And I know you're going to do everything you can to make it work.
Absolutely.
I know you will, and we're all with you on that. So any comments, questions, thoughts, ideas in addition to that? Okay, that's what we're going to do. And wish us luck. Think good thoughts. Okay. All right.
We're not.
Okay. Last on my agenda here is the scheduling the next meeting. Due to summer schedules, travel plans, etc., I am proposing that the next meeting date be either Monday, August 12th, or September 9th. I think August 12th is a little before 2 months, and September 9th is a little over. I would recommend August 12th, because I think we have things to consider, like possible fall fundraising and things like that. So does anybody have any problem with Monday, August 12th?
Yes.
Yeah, I won't be here.
You do?
It's my 50th birthday. I will not be spending it here.
Well, happy birthday. Well, I have to do it before, I have to do it August 12th, or I'm going to be on a 60-mile backpack the next week. And then in September, I'm going to be in Portugal. So there you go. So, sorry. But anyway, that was the best I could come up with my schedule and thinking about the Monday and, you know, in the month and stuff.
So it's August 12th. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Remember how young we were at 50? Do we remember 50? Who remembers 50? Okay, let's see what we're doing on that one. So, is everybody generally in agreement, pending things happening in life, that August 12th would be okay for the next? Okay, and we'll put... all right, 6:30, because we're still on summer schedule. All right. General discussion items, nothing was brought forward. Does anybody, this is your opportunity to stand and speak. Have anything? Nobody brought me anything.
Do you?
Pardon?
Do you have anything?
No, I have nothing.
What happened to the nice breakdown of potential fundraisers?
Thank you, Bill. Thank you. That was Phyllis's Midnight Musings.
Right.
Yes, and let's look at that right now. Thank you, Bill. Five fundraiser ideas I have come up with. There is Night at the Library, which I think we talked about briefly a little bit. And then there's a couple of other things. So I don't know if anybody has any thoughts or ideas about the pros and cons of any of these, or should we actively...
Before you go any further, I was not volunteering to do any of these.
Right. Yeah, I got that, yeah.
These were to stimulate conversation
okay.
and come up with something. And also to remind you that the year's half gone and there's still no fundraiser chairman, and every one of these ideas has a lead-in time of at least a month, probably more. So.
Maybe we should talk about a fundraiser chairman. Where do we get one?
What does the second vice president do?
What was that?
I mean, I was listening, but you want.
Yeah. What do you do? Are you a fundraising person?
I haven't been. I'm new here, so I'm not certain what it
every
would
group
involve.
Is different. I don't know what the job description is for the second vice. Seriously.
It wasn't that.
It wasn't.
We only have one vice president.
Oh, well, okay, the vice president.
Yeah,
okay.
It wasn't the
vice president. Okay, then what is the job description for the vice president?
It didn't include fundraising.
It didn't include I get that clear, Robin. Yeah.
All right,
coming across.
That probably said something or other duties as requested.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I hear you.
So we have a kind of an existential problem in that we don't have anyone that really wants to be in charge of fundraising ideas overall and carrying them forward, creating a committee. And I don't know how to solve that, really. I really don't have the time for it. I don't mind helping out, but I'm not going to volunteer for it. So I don't know what we do. Patty.
Oh, no, I'm just blocking the sun.
Oh, you're blocking the sun. Frida.
I was just going to say, this has been an ongoing problem.
Yes.
As long as I've been with the Friends.
Yes.
That nobody wants to, and until Phyllis has taken it over, she's the only person that's ever done this. Maybe we should just figure that we sell books and don't have, whether it's the Christmas prom party or whatever, that maybe that's not our function. If nobody wants to do it.
Just I agree.
Here. Well,
I agree.
You know, that's an option we could put on the volunteer flyer too. Fundraising.
Yes.
You know, put some options on there for them other than cashing.
We absolutely need to do that.
Yeah.
And anyone who fills out a membership application and lists any interest in other things, that information needs to be disseminated to us. To us, to me, to the board, to the board. We need to know who these people are.
Is there going to be a follow-up to it?
Maybe you should volunteer to do that.
Follow up on that?
Would you like to follow up on volunteering? The people who have other ideas besides working in the bookstore?
I mean, I'm going to get to take a look at the membership applications.
I would love to have you do that.
No, we're talking about... Well,
no, I wouldn't think so.
It's the membership application.
Right.
But on the membership application, I believe, there's a spot about what would you like to do something. And
that information is put on the master list for everyone to see. So the master list is here in the bookstore.
And we can send it to you as an Excel spreadsheet.
Right.
All I'm looking for is who's volunteering with an address.
It's on there. It's called the master list.
I wouldn't know. I'm sorry, but I've never heard that before.
The membership list.
It's
the master membership mailing list.
Where does it say I'm interested in such and such?
It's under comments on the forum.
Far
it's in
right
Excel.
Side.
Is the forum on there?
No.
No, there's no room for the fucking
the comments. Now, shush. We have a tape recorder going.
Here, I'll be glad to do that.
Trash
mouth. As I start
it off. Potty mouth.
If you'll show me the membership application.
Put a dollar
nice.
In the jar.
Oh, forget it.
Okay.
I've had a bitch with this because there's nobody knows who's willing to work. Anyway, long story short, my secondary approach to this before you cast it in stone is that we hire a professional fundraiser.
We can't afford it.
You don't know how much it costs yet.
Have you seen our overhead?
You know something? The question of it is like with Phyllis. If you're going to make $10,000 and you spend $2,500 or $3,000 that could attain it, that's $7,000 more. You understand how much we worked down here for this weekend for $160?
I know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen.
186, Mr.
Okay.
Well, whatever the format is,
I got
it. I'm not denigrating it, but the point of it is that, you know, I think we've all been down this strange road where you have to spend money to make money.
Yes.
But I don't know that we need another professional.
You
know.
It's always
crappy to spend money. But I got to tell you something. We're down to the point where you want to do it, you do it. If you don't, then what else is there for this organization to do? Right now, the executive committee runs the bookstore. There's no fundraising. What else do we have? We have mandatory donation to the library of all profits. So what do we do? What is this group doing?
Bill Darling, I just want to say that what we have is we have a fantastic bookstore.
Yes,
that
we
everybody
do.
Everybody who comes here loves this bookstore. That it's a great bookstore, well organized, and we can hold our heads up high.
Absolutely.
And
I think
make
so.
Money
and we make money every
now,
month.
You know, we can make more money, but. We sell books.
We could pursue grants, but I think that's something that the library does already.
We do. Right.
Yeah. So
not for us.
I received an inquiry on Facebook from my newspaper column from a woman asking wanting to talk to me about our donation opportunities. And because I really don't do Facebook, I did little air quotes there for your recorder. I looked her up and I found her in town. And basically, she has a company, she has a business, and she consults nonprofits and helps them with fundraising for a fee, for an hourly fee, for consultation, and it ain't cheap. Now, so I think she was chumming from my article to look up, you know, finding more clients. On the other hand, she may also be interested in being a business member. So I sent her an email today and I said, thank you very much for your inquiry. I'd be happy to talk to you about the Friends of the Library and business memberships. And if you give me your mailing address, I will send you a brochure and a letter and let's talk. And I gave, again, my phone number, which had been in the newspaper article. But so here is somebody in town who has a business doing development consulting. And basically, I saw her list of clients. It's mostly nonprofits like us, and she's helping them. But it's hefty money.
Well, and how much?
I did not get it. I don't have the details yet. I will send you her website link, and you can look at it. And then you can advise us next time as to whether you think it's worth it. So we'll put that on as a report from you. I will send you her information. I don't remember the exact name of the business right now. But, okay. Fundraising. That's what I do.
That in your memo.
Delegate.
Yes, good girl.
Giving the library all of our profits.
And quickly, too.
The mission of this organization is.
All that I say is the way it's set up here right now, the executive director runs the executive committee runs the bookstore.
No, it says in the bylaws. Not the bookstore. The Friends of the Library.
Have you guys read it?
Yes, page 45,
here.
Section D.
Get it out here right now. It says that's why we're not interviewing the manager.
Well, do you know how cumbersome it would be for an entire board?
Cumbersome or not.
No, you're not.
I'm just saying.
No one does that.
The bookstore comes under the executive committee.
Well, they only do the hiring.
Just the hiring of the manager, Bill. Bill, we talked about this.
What?
We talked about this last week.
Here, does somebody have a copy of the bylaws? I don't carry them around.
No, I don't carry them around either. Fundraising. Okay, send Bill.
Okay, let me bounce it another way. If I find that section and I send it to you guys, will you admit that I'm correct?
Oh, of course. Not until we read it and see if you're correct.
I gave them the authority to do the hiring, the interviewing, and negotiation of a contract.
Contract.
It says supervision of the bookstore.
No, it does
no,
not.
It doesn't.
Does not.
Well,
I went over this with you.
I had
copy with him last week. That's why. No, I didn't.
What Bill's saying is true, whether it's in writing or not.
That.
Well, I do. Yeah. It's not a matter what it says.
Right.
If you hire the person reports to
they
you.
Report to
indirectly, them. You are in charge. So.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll get there eventually.
Okay, we're getting off track here, and I'm not getting off track because we're going to finish this one little discussion under general discussion, and then we're done. Okay, Bill, I'm going to send you this woman's website information for you to research and report on at the next meeting and evaluate and give us your consensus of whether you think it's worth hiring someone like this. So you may have to call and talk to her or whatever.
I'd like to say that I agree with Frida that our major and most efficient way to earn money is this well-organized bookstore. And if there is no one, other than maybe hiring somebody, to organize fundraisers donating the time. I work part-time and do a lot of other things, so I'm not available, and I think most other people are in my boat. They give a certain amount of time to different organizations, but they don't have the time to put in for a huge fundraiser to make us $4,000 to $5,000. So to support the bookstore in the ways we can for the bookstore and its events, I think is a very valid way to earn money to give to the library. It may be in the future years a little less than we have been able to, but it will still be a huge chunk.
It'll be consistent.
So I really go along with what Frieda says, and maybe we do not need to have additional peripheral fundraisers besides the bookstore.
Well, let's all, how about under this general discussion
just
item,
my opinion,
let's all give this some really serious thought. Think about anybody that any of you know out there in the world who may be interested in helping us. They don't have to be on the board. They can be a member of the public who joins for $20 if they want and can help us with something. I mean, we may have contacts out there that we're not utilizing.
Yeah. Who's doing your membership? I mean, your donation program. Are you sending out the letters?
Donation program.
You said you had a list of the Chamber of Commerce members.
We are putting together a flyer promoting the Friends of the Library to join as a business member, which is a lot more money than an individual membership. I think they start $100, $200, or whatever. In fact, we just got one. That flyer will then be sent out through the Chamber of Commerce e-blast to all of its members, which is a lot of people. And then Lisa and I are hoping after that to pinpoint, you know, make a list, kind of triage it, and maybe assign out to people. Hey, will you contact these 10 people? Will you contact these 10 people? Will you contact 5 people? You know, it's going to take a village.
I think it's a great idea.
Good. That's what we're doing. We're in doing that. We're in the process. I wish Lisa had been here tonight, because I haven't talked to her for a few days. But
well, that's what you started off by saying. You wanted corporate memberships when you took office.
I said business memberships. We've already got.
So the long story short is that's good.
Yeah, it's good, but it's going to take time.
Well,
you know, it's going to take time. What?
We can all go buy a lottery ticket, but I think you're on the right track, personally.
Yeah, let's just take it bird by bird.
I mean, I used to think the same thing of the membership or the fundraising operation. So in a sense, it's kind of the same. You just take it, you keep grinding on it, you know.
Yeah, but we're also, for fundraising, I really, really encourage everybody to think, and I tend to agree that our bookstore, this bookstore, is amazing. The people respect it, they depend on it.
It's established.
I had a couple when I was working a couple weeks ago. They were from England. They were traveling, and they came down from South Lake Tahoe to go to the train museum, and then they saw the Chamber of Commerce office, so they went over to see if there was a bookstore in town. So the Chamber of Commerce sent them here, and they were just delighted. I mean, they went out with a big stack of books. But it is a really good product. And also, by having created a successful business, you also have overhead. Unfortunately, it's a little higher than I'd like to see it, but you know, we can try nibbling away on that. But so everybody think about fundraising connections, not you doing it or you doing it, but finding other people you may know that
maybe want to be a fundraiser for us.
It may help.
Sure. Help.
When we met on May 31st about the bookstore manager, we talked about emailing members to do different things at the store. Would that be a time to ask if anybody's got fundraising ideas?
Yes, an e-blast. Mm-hmm. E-blast, say, for help.
We're interested in being.
We had a list. I don't know. Did that go out?
Some people might just love that.
We had a little list.
Yeah. Who wants to be a fundraising chairman?
Within the store have stepped up to take over some of the things that Jim's been doing.
Yeah, but I was saying we can send out an e-blast every week saying, we need help with somebody to break down boxes next week. We need help with a handyman or a handy girl or somebody. we need help doing this or that, and see what we turn up in the community. And not just, we could also go for the e-blast of the full membership and the little column in the paper, you know, about community events, something, things they need, you know. You see, like, RSVP needs RSVP drivers or volunteers, or we can do more of that. So, okay. Yeah. I think we're done here, unless there's anything else. Yeah. Any public comment? Do we have a motion to adjourn our meeting?
I make a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Julie, thank you. Second? Frieda seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
No opposition? No. See you in August.
Easiest motion you ever
get. Okay.